During the 1920s, did the people of DeKalb County develop an admiration for the likes of Jack Dempsey of boxing and Babe Ruth of baseball? Were the people of DeKalb County aware of sports figures in the 1920s?
People of DeKalb County, admired Babe Ruth. I had an uncle that was a baseball player, and he thought he played back in the teens. He wasn't professional, but every cross road where there's a schoolhouse, they usually had a baseball team. Back when I was back in the 20s, early 20s, my uncle thought Babe Ruth, and I was made to believe that he was a Superman. Jack Dempsey come along later, and he was everybody's hero as a boxer. The people in DeKalb County, everybody knew of Babe Ruth and Jack Dempsey. The time Jack got famous, we had radios. And more people had learned to read, and there was more papers. People was better informed then than there was in the first beginning of Babe Ruth's time.
The cost of cars dropped low enough in the 1920s that the average American could afford to buy one. In the 10 years between 1920 and 1930, the number of cars registered in the United States almost tripled, from 8 million to 23 million. Were there many cars in DeKalb County?
In the beginning of the 20s, there were very few cars. I remember my daddy bought a 1917 Ford passenger, and he cut the back seat off and fixed a little platform on the back to haul. He thought he could haul a piano on it, but he got a piano on it one time, and it sat down, and he never did try to haul another piano on it. He sold at that time, that was long in the early 20s. At that time, he was selling organs, pianos, and graffinolas, they were taking the day, and he had to go to Birmingham to get this stuff, and he set it out on and record. So he cut the back end of this, and he could haul a Victor over, a phonograph, and records, and go about all the county selling them. And he went to Birmingham. He never did learn to drive. One of his neighbors could drive, and I went with him to Birmingham to get this load of records in the Victrolas, and they loaded this thing down, and we come back home that evening and run across the railroad track
on the way back from Birmingham to San Mountain. And the rear tire slipped and
rim cut it. And we worked there till it was the hottest day that was that summer. This guy had a garage there at the railroad track where this tar, and he couldn't get a new tar, but he took a hamstring, a leather hamstring that's used to tie gear on harness for a horse, and lace that, and got it back on the tar, and got it pumped up with a hand pump. You had to put 65 pound air in the thing, and got it pumped up, and we come home and he rolled that car out the side of the shed and it sat there and rusted out, or sat there 2 or 3 years before he sold it. He didn't ever use it anymore to haul his Victrolas organs on. But by the end of the 20s, we had become a two-car family. and I don't know the next car he bought was a 23 model and Ford, a touring car. It had a top on it, and we kept it for years till the A models come out, and bought an A model. I don't remember what A model it was. I think it was $325. It was a little over $300 this A model cost. That was a 28 model, come out in 27. And it was of course there wasn't any roads paved in DeKalb County. The road from Chattanooga to Birmingham was gravel, and when we'd go to Fort Payne, we'd have to go up that way, and I'd drive, and my dad'd tell me when he'd watch speed on her, and we'd see out that stretch of road 3 or 4 miles, it was straight, and he'd see how fast it'd run, and when it got to 45, he'd tell me, and I'd slow down driving. So we had one of the fastest cars in the settlement, and I was one of the fastest drivers in the settlement. I had made 45 miles in the automobile. That enough?
Yeah.
This first car my dad bought, the one that he used for a pickup. Before we made this trip to Birmingham, he drove it around a year or two around in the settlement, and I'm sure it didn't have a tag on it, and I'm sure he never did buy a tag for that car. it was compulsory, but I think, but nobody didn't ever say anything to him about when he go to town about not having a tag, so he never did buy one.
How did DeKalb County cope with problems of road constructions?
Well, that was very simple. Each man, when he was 21 years old, had to work. I believe it was 6 days you had to put in. That was from sunup to sundown. And it's usually done in the summer months. If you didn't work at that time, then you had to do two or four days extra. I don't remember whether it was double the amount of time that you had to do then after in the winter months, but you had to do that before the first of the year. Or you could hire somebody to work in your place, but from 21 to 45, everybody had to work on the road with shovels and picks and mules. You got extra if you furnished a pair of mules to scoop dirt and pile in the hole, and you can get over the roads then all the year in a car. Back in the winter months when the roads would be muddy, it wasn't no use to get out in the car. You couldn't hold it in the road. Slide in the ditch and have to be pulled out. And we had an overseer for each community, and he got paid for the day. I don't remember whether it was $1 or $1.50 a day The wages got up to, it might have been $2 long at the last of that went out in the 20s, I guess. And on mountain where the road went over the mountains and they were built with convicts. Is that answer? I don't remember whose administration that was in. That Bib Graves, wasn't it?
I believe he got
they
rid
done
of.
Away with free convict labor. Each county had a camp for these convicts, and there'd be, I don't know, 35 or 40 men, I guess, in that. They had to be trusted before they was allowed to be assigned a road, but they blasted these rocks off where you could get up, put a road up over the mountain. And ridges, and built bridges and things like that. I don't remember who the governor was that done away with that. Could have been Bill Graves, for all I can remember.